All right. Well, welcome here to the session. Thank you for choosing this session out of the many choices that you have. Essentially, what we're here to do today is talk about a caring matrix and how caring fits into an overall strategy of our company. Our company originally comes from South Carolina, but originally from South Africa. And we're going to talk a little bit about how caring fits in with the spiritual side of a spiritual strategy for our company. And I'll kind of go through the different objectives of what I try to accomplish by the end of our session. First thing we're going to do is talk about why do we care and what is caring. Essentially, why do we care? There are a lot of companies out there that are socially responsible, that care for employees. There are many of them out there. But the big question often asked company owners is, why do you care? Is it because you're just a good guy? Or is there a bigger plan? And really, at the end of the day, we care because God loves us, cares for us, and in turn, we care for others. And that's really the core of it. And what we're trying to do is achieve a long-term strategy of developing the spiritual side of human beings. Employees can be seen as a resource, or they can be seen as souls. And if you see an employee as a soul, that changes your perspective. It changes everything about your company. And there's an end goal in place, and that is creating eternal value. So how does one fit that all into what we're about to talk about? And that is caring. The word really that Jesus taught us is love. Love one another as I love you. And this is all about how do we love? How do we fulfill that commandment of Jesus to love our employees? It's difficult when you have guys in the shop floor that are welders, that are huge, big, strong guys, and you say, I love you. That doesn't work too good. So what you've got to try and say is, I care for you. That they understand. But the essence of it is love. And so that's what you'll hear over and over again. The strategy behind this is to care for people in a way that honors God and to bring them to the source of that love. And that love is Christ Himself. And so that's the journey and that's the strategy behind what we do. What I hope to do is show you caring in the workplace. What does that look like? What are some practical examples of caring and how does that all work? We've developed what we call a matrix, and we're going to hand this out a little later on at the appropriate time. It's a very simple 3x3 matrix that we've developed over the last 10 years that helps us as a company to develop a comprehensive plan that covers many different areas, and we'll share that with you. Then trying to look at caring activities. We're going to share with you a whole bunch of different things that you can pick in your own companies that you can provide almost like an a la carte menu for employees. How to care for them in a way that is meaningful to them, not to you. In many cases, managers and owners try to develop programs that are meaningful to them, but the employees lose engagement, and then it really is pointless. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Then we'll talk about assessing your caring matrix. Trying to figure out, once you've developed your plan and you've started to implement them, are you actually achieving what you're suggesting? And within that, one of our key components there is developing a spiritual plan. And we have a corporate chaplain on site that helps us to develop that plan. And we have the folks from corporate chaplains here in front. If any of you are interested at the end of the session or during the session, if there are any questions, these are guys that are experts at developing spiritual plans that at the end of the day, what is this all about? It's about creating eternal value. And that eternal value is helping people find their way to heaven. And that's really, at the end of the day, as a CEO, the stuff that you make is all temporary. You sell it today, you get cash tomorrow, and then you buy stuff. And it's gone. And then you do it again and again. And you know what? After a while, it gets old. So what is the really purpose of your company? It's to create eternal value. And that's where we've chosen to partner with corporate chaplains to help us on the shop floor, day in, day out. I often say there's three types of employees at Polydeck, our company. Ones that are about to go into a crisis, those that are in a crisis, and those that just come out of a crisis. And who's there beside them? You know, we spoke earlier in some of the sessions earlier, we have a priestly role. But you know, when you've got more than 100 employees, there's just too many. You can't preach to 100 people. You just can't get around to everyone. You don't know on the third shift if someone's child is struggling. Is there an addiction in their family? You can't get around. So that's where we've employed corporate chaplains to really help us dig deep and to really hurt those wounded people in our company and to help them in that moment of crisis to find the source of all love, and that's God Himself. And that really is the ultimate solution. So that's kind of one of the things we'll talk about. The last one is this acronym here, AWAW, which is His Way at Work. And what we did at our company over a 10-year period, we found a lot of what I'm going to show you that really worked. And then we said to ourselves, well, you know what? We found this real special kind of serum, if you like. Why not share this with others? So we started an organization called His Way at Work. And William Renfro is one of the board members on His Way at Work. And Amanda is the executive director. And all the things you're going to see here today are really part of His Way at Work, an organization with a very simple mission. And that mission is to inspire and help business leaders to improve their workplace by having God at the center and caring for people as He did to create eternal value. So if you want to look at what the strategy of our company is, what the purpose of the company is, it's to create eternal value. And so that organization we started, Armando will kind of help me through this presentation because he's the executive director of that organization. So if you have any questions, we have coaches in 5 different countries, 10 coaches in total, that help organizations that are stuck. You're going to see a lot of stuff here, and it's overwhelming. And you as the CEO or senior manager of a company, when you've got to actually go do this, you've got a million fires burning by the time you get home. How do you do this thing? There's a lot of stuff. And so we've worked with over 100 companies to help coach them through what you're about to see. So if there are any questions or anything, I'm going to try and leave some time at the end for questions. And if there are questions during the presentation, please feel free. If there's a topic that you see that you maybe want to kind of delve a little deeper. So let's begin. So really, at the start of this thing is to, as a company, you have to know who you are. Before you can communicate anything to your employees, you've got to understand who you are. And there's 2 vital components. One is a purpose statement. What is the purpose of your organization? And then the second thing is the mission. How do you accomplish your purpose? And you were given some business cards a little earlier. If you want to just grab my business card, you'll have a chance, this one here. If you turn to the back of that business card, you'll see what our mission and purpose is. And it kind of will help frame everything. Basically, it says the purpose of our company is to serve our customers and stakeholders with excellence, to achieve profitable growth, which enables us to care for people in a way that honors God. That's the purpose of our company, to make money so that we can care for people in a way that honors God. Not just to care for them because we want to care about them. I mean, you can care about dogs, you can care about all sorts of things. But why do we care for people? Because it honors God. That is our purpose statement. Every one of you may or may not have a purpose statement. That's a really good place to start. The second thing is an implementation plan that says, okay, what is the core values and the mission? And if you'll read a little lower down on that same business card, it says, we're a company grounded in the Christian values of humility, honesty, integrity, respect, kindness, and a sense of social responsibility. Our goal is to create eternal value by striving to honor God in all that we do. This is reflected in how we conduct our business and how we care for our employees, who are our greatest asset. So I ask you, each of you, do you have something like that? It doesn't have to be the same thing, but do you have a statement out there that you are able to communicate with your employees about who you are, why you exist, and how you're going to implement this thing? So that's the first thing that I would recommend that you think about. There are a lot of kind of workshops that we have that will help you through those. It's not simple. This simple thing on the back of the business card took us several months to develop. It's not a 5-minute deal. It's a a fairly challenging journey, if you like. The second thing is, once you've developed that, who you are, why you exist, how do you create engagement? You've got a bunch of people in your organization. You have it in your mind, but what about them? How do you communicate with them? How do you get them to feel engaged? How do you get them to actually be energized by this thing. And the key there is to try to get a team of people and to live out day by day what that statement is. So many people come to our company and they say, you know what, you got this really cool statement, but do you actually do that? There are so many companies that have great values. Enron is a great example. They had wonderful values, but you know what? It was a piece of paper that no one lived by. So the challenge then becomes, once you've got that piece of paper, how do you live it? How do you actually implement it day to day? And that's what this talk is all about, is developing a plan, a strategy to develop that plan to create eternal value. The next thing is, seek excellence in all you do. If you're going to have a plan, and if you're going to create eternal value, do it with excellence. Don't do it as a side little hobby that you have on the side. You know, this is my little pet thing. Make it part of the organization. Track it. Create KPIs. Key performance indicators. Measure them. Put them up on the board. Have goals. Put budgets together. Put money towards it. Develop an organizational structure that supports it. Those are all so important. Otherwise, it just stays a little piece of paper in your desk drawer. And we'll talk a little bit about that. So accountability is a key thing. And then make changes as you go. Because every plan is only a plan. Once you start implementing, it's okay if it doesn't work out. There's always room to change. This is probably the most important thing. Seek guidance through prayer. Because as you go down this journey, let me tell you, it's like putting a target on your chest. The evil one will come after you with things you cannot even imagine. And if you're not close to God, you will not have the energy to sustain this journey. He will knock you down. And I've seen it happen over and over with companies that start. It's like, you know, the parable of the seed. That seed sprouts and it goes like crazy. But when the sun comes, meow, it bends down. And then you go back 2 years later and say, how are those programs? You know, that was a really good idea, but we'll maybe start next year. So I just encourage you, if you're able to spend time each day in prayer, that is really the nutrient that helps develop these programs. So what's God's description for us as CEOs? He summarized the whole Bible in two statements. He said, love me with all your heart, and then love your neighbor. The rest is just commentary. So this is what we're really given as CEOs. This is our job description. So how do we do that? How do you love your neighbor in the workplace? I mean, that sounds weird. Loving neighbors kind of sounds okay at church, but when you go and do it at work, it's a whole different thing. One of the things that many CEOs that are evangelical in their approach is that drive the concept of start with the end in mind. And they are so ministry-driven, evangelical in their approach, that they scare people off. And so what we've decided as a company is to start the other way around. Jesus says to us, he says, if a beggar is there, don't say, go, God bless you, and walk off. Give him some food. Show him that you love him. And that's where we start here. We'll show you the matrix just now. It's displaying Christ's love first. That's where it all starts. Because starting with the end in mind is truly starting with love. God loves us, and we love our employees. And when we start that by displaying it first, now there's an old saying, I can't hear what you say until I know that you care. Say that again. I can't hear what you say until I know that you care. So if you come to someone and you're trying to preach, you know, God is the only way and blah, 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 and you treat him badly, do you think that that's an encouragement to him? Mm-mm. But if you're there every day to love him unconditionally with programs that blow his mind, one day he's going to come to you and say to you, sir, why are you doing this? And that opens the door for you to share the source of that love. That God gives us all these things that we have as gifts. And all we're doing is handing them out. And so that's really what that whole display versus declaring is really about. The next step, once you've done those two, is then discipling. Once people are at that point, we then have a program to disciple people. How to encourage them to go out and share the good news with others. And that's what really this matrix that we're about to share with you is all about. One of probably the most important things, we have multiple faiths represented in our company, all the way from Hindu, Muslim, Buddhist, Christian, and people of no faith. So how does one implement this whole program in a company like that? The key there is to do it with respect. To respect people where they're at. Respect their faith. Respect who they are. But yet that doesn't mean that they should not respect you for what you believe in. And if you live an authentic life of true caring with good values, there's not one single employee that will be able to point fingers at you. And it's amazing through this journey how many people have come to know Christ because of the caring that they felt in our organization across all different faith backgrounds. So here it is. It's a very simple matrix. I'm going to ask Armando to hand out a little page to you, which is really the tool that you'll have to go home with. It's a very simple tool. You know, sometimes the essence of life is taking what's complex and reducing it to something simple. This piece of paper is the result of 10 years of hard work at our organization. And I'm hoping to share this with you as a tool that you'll be able to go back to your organizations and say, here's something that will help us as an organization grow. Really what you'll see is it's a 9-block matrix. On the vertical, you'll see who is your neighbor. We spoke about love your neighbor. Well, who's that neighbor? The most important people are your employees. They're the core employees right under your nose. So many times as Christians, we want to go on mission trips to the far reaches of the world. But you know what? The mission field is right in your backyard. Do you know that more than 70% on average of people that work in your company do not go to church? So what's the point of going to China when people in your own circle of influence, 70% of them have no clue who God is? Don't go to church. So where should we start? Charity starts at home. And that's what this program is all about, is having a program to care for those closest to us. So the first one is our employees. The second group is their families. If I went and treated everyone, think of your children. If I went and gave each of your children something very special that was very meaningful to them, what would your response be back to me? It'd be very positive. So that guy's a good guy. So really what we're doing is trying to access the families so that we can help the employees. It's kind of an intertwined caring program. The next one is the community. That's the third level, kind of the bigger spectrum. On the vertical side, you'll see these are the three different areas that every human being is comprised of. We all have physical needs, right? We know all what those are. We have emotional needs. But then there's something that most organizations stop, that don't recognize the spiritual need. So you look at most well-run Fortune 500 companies, probably do a great job in these 6 boxes here. They have a whole bunch of programs all over here. But you know what? That's where they stop. When it comes to this spiritual side, they have nothing. I remember a guy came to our company from Singapore, and he'd been chasing us for many years about buying our company. And I said to him, you know, we're not interested. I have a son, and you know, I want to keep it for him. No, we'll give you any price you want. We want in our strategy, you are the company we need. I said, okay. You've got half an hour to come share your story with us. He came and he showed us all the charts and how much he's prepared, the EBITDA and return, it's the best, and blah, blah, blah. I said to him, I'll tell you what at the end. If you can answer this one question, you can buy the company. So he looked at his friend, he said, okay, I'm ready. I said, I tell you, once you have bought our company, I want to know what your strategic plan is to create eternal value. He's like, what did you say? What do you mean by that? He couldn't even understand the question, never mind have a game plan. So this is what this is here. This is an eternal value creation mechanism that most people on this planet have no clue what this thing really is. And again, the whole idea here is before you can get to the spiritual side, I can't hear what you say until I know that you care about me physically and emotionally. So these two here are really displaying God's love so that we earn the right to declare the source of that love. And that's far more effective than starting over here and handing Bibles out to your employees and saying, I am an evangelist and you are going to hell unless you follow the gospel. That's not the way it works. You can do it, but that's not what really produces results. So this is basically the matrix. And now we're going to go through this matrix with you to try and help you to see how this all works. So again, these things here, all these different programs in these nine blocks, create EROI is a term that we've coined at our company. Eternal return on investment. Every company out here, every one of you that's a CEO or an accountant or a senior manager, the first question at the end of the quarter is, what is your return on investment? I gave you $5 million. What did you do with it? Jesus did the same thing with the talents. He gave him 10 talents. What did he do? He said, what's the return on investment? So by the same token, we're asking the question, what is the EROI? So if there's any one thing you take away from this, ask yourself this question. What is the EROI that your organization is creating? Then ask yourself the next question, how do you measure that? If I ask you, are you creating eternal return? You kind of, yeah, kind of. But if I ask you, how are you measuring it? Are you holding your people accountable? Do you put funds and resources and organizational structure in place to create that? A lot of people, some of you may say, yeah. But maybe some of you won't. So again, that's what we're trying to share with you. How do we do that? So basically, again, these are the key stakeholders that we're trying to reach. And these are the needs that we're trying to go through. So the key then becomes, how do you pick activities and things, programs that are going to address that? So what we do is we look at certain levels. And if you look on the back of that piece of paper that I gave you, this is where we're going to start looking at some of the ideas. On the left-hand side, you'll see a whole boatload of ideas. They are just ideas. Then you'll see we've broken them up so that you can start putting in the front of the... Hopefully, at the end of the session, you'll have enough information to fill out this chart with your own activities. So you'll be able to use what's on the back of this chart to fill out the front. And that will give you an idea of how much eternal value you're creating within your organization. And I'll show you a little bit more about that. So, before you start picking activities, we want to show you a classification method that we've developed in our company. How to classify and categorize caring programs. Because they're not, one caring program is not the same as another one. It has different perspectives. And so, what we've got, the first classification method is it a relief? So in other words, if someone has just burnt his house down, that is a relief. If you're going to go help him, it's relieving his issue. Rehab. What is rehab? A great example of that, someone's on drugs. You have to rehabilitate him. The third category is developmental. Normally, we try to develop people that have continual relief requests. So for example, someone is constantly out of money, constantly struggling with his budget, constantly wanting a loan, we have a developmental program at our company that he has to go through first before he can get another loan. So we have, for example, financial peace. He's got to go through that before he gets another loan. So as you think of the programs that you're developing, make sure that you have something in each of those categories, because if all you're doing is providing relief, there's the old story of toxic charity. Or when helping hurts. You're helping him, but you're not helping him. You're hurting him. You're teaching him how to become dependent on you. So that's where this balance is so important. You have to develop a balance between those three classifications of every one of the caring programs. The next thing we'll look at is, what is the reach? So in other words, employee, family, or community. The next one is the physical, emotional, and spiritual, which coincides with what you have on the front. Then comes the last one, which most people start getting afraid of. How much is that going to cost me? We're all talking about return on investment. If I invest in these caring programs, I'm going to go broke. If I put all my money in caring programs, I can't survive. This is where the whole concept of God economics comes in. When we care for the least of our brethren, who are we really caring for? God Himself. He says it to us very clearly. But do we have the faith to put money in a caring program that provides eternal value? Scary. And these programs, some of them are pretty expensive. And I'll show you how we do it as a company, not how you should do it, but we'll just share with you how we do it, and then you can kind of develop your own plan. So this is on the back side of this. Once you start to develop. My challenge to you at the end of the session is take this program here and write in there what you currently do, as much or as little. And you'll be able to find where that intersects. Is it for family? Okay. Is it for spiritual? Yes. Start filling those blocks in. If you need some help, look at the back. And the back is designed in such a way that if you have a void in an area, all you do is you look down this program, you say, okay, I need a program that is for my employees, addresses their spiritual needs, and doesn't cost me much money. We've developed this program so you can pick and choose, just at a glance, which programs to start with and how effective they are in what categories. So that's basically how, and I'll go through these things in more detail. So developing the caring matrix, where do we start? Okay, the first thing we did, if you start from the top down, many of you are CEOs or senior managers or hold the purse strings of the company, you start developing those programs. But you know what? I guarantee you in a year's time, if that was your idea, no idea left. Because unless you get engagement from the employees themselves and programs that they find meaningful, it's not going to work. So the first thing we did is we got a caring team in place. Representatives from every department in our company. We said, okay, you guys, come up with these programs. We took 1% of our total revenue, which is equivalent to kind of tithing, put it in a fund called a caring fund. We said, you guys, go use that money. Go put it in place. Let me tell you, talk about a scary moment. That is scary as all get out. When you hand that kind of money over to employees, who most people have this concept, employees should not be trusted, especially with a lot of money. But you'd be surprised. If you give them the right guidelines, if you empower them to pick the right project and give them some support, they will choose programs on this list here that cost zip. They will find ways to extend your dollars in ways you can never imagine. They will actually be more frugal with your money than you are. And that is a leap of faith. But again, that's God economics. But I'm here to share with you that those are some of the things that His way at work can walk you through with over 100 companies that we've implemented these principles. It works. Human beings are the same. They're all created in God's image and likeness with a soul. And when they see that this is an authentic program, it's amazing how they will respond. So again, I can share you that. So the next thing is trying to balance that, making sure that you don't put all the funds into one area. Because if you put all in one, it becomes lopsided. And that's, again, the purpose of this thing. You want to have programs in all 9 blocks. Eventually, you don't want to start that way, but you want to have 9 blocks. And you want to migrate from the left-hand side towards the right-hand side. So in other words, displaying God's love first before you get into the spiritual stuff. There's an old saying, it says, slow and steady wins the race. If you start on the right-hand side and you just make one mistake, your whole program's in the toilet. If you start on the left here and you do it slow and steady and you show people that you love them unconditionally, wow. You will see responses from employees that you can't even imagine. The key for if any of you do not have many programs, or if you want to add some programs, do it slowly. Pick 1 or 2, most 3 programs, but do it with excellence. You have to do it, and as a CEO or a senior manager, you've got to develop a team that ensures, just like you do, a new sales strategy. You've got to make sure it's implemented. You've got to follow up. You've got to develop. You've got to delegate. You've got to do all those things. So here's kind of where we'd ask you to start. Start using this blank matrix and start filling it out with the activities that you think are, that you have in your organization. And if you don't have many, well, that's a good thing. It's a good place to start. And you've got lots of really good ideas on the back here. Some of them are expensive. Some are simple. Some are quick. Some take a long time. Some have broad impact. Some have very narrow focused impact. But at least you've got a lot of ideas on the back of this thing. So once you've got this, you know, you want to start tracking the performance. How are you doing? So when you pick 1 or 2 things, don't just put them in place and then hope for the best. Try to start tracking them. Start assessing how you're doing. Collect information on it, and then see which ones are effective and which ones are not effective. Again, using that sheet, this is kind of how we did it. We put in all different funds over here. We put a certain amount of money at the beginning of the year. We created a budget. And then we had at the end of the every period, we'd have the budget amount, the actual amount spent, and then an over and under amount. Because what you'll find is some of the programs, if you have multiple programs, employees will gravitate towards, and some won't. And if you have some that don't, you'll see it right away over here. The funds will not be consumed. Or you'll have some that the funds are gone in 5 minutes. Then you have to ask why and really dig deep to figure out how that all works. Then the next thing is developing the data. You've got to track these things, just like you track everything else in your business. You know how we as organizational leaders track sales, for example? We know who customers are. We know how often they buy. We know what type of price levels they are. We know everything. But why don't we know that about employees? Why don't we know that about our caring programs? So this really allows you to develop that, how to come up with those programs. So really when you look at that matrix, you want to try and see where you have things in there and how you develop those, where you put them and where you have blocks and where you have spaces. And then basically this just says go do it again and again as you develop that program. Kind of just a repeat, you know, pick one or two activities if you're going to start this thing from zero and make sure they're sure winners. Don't go pick something that's like, maybe that'll work, maybe it won't work. Pick something that it has broad appeal to many employees, that's not expensive to put in place, and something you can track easily. Then slow and steady wins the race. Be patient. Sometimes it takes months and months and months before a program really kicks in. Because the first thing that happens when they put this in place, the first thing your employees are going to say, why is he doing this? What does he want from us? It's the first thing they're going to ask. But if you're consistent and you stay the course, eventually it will work. So you just got to be patient. Do things with excellence. Just as you would do anything in your business, imagine your employees are the key stakeholders in your company. How would you treat your customers? With excellence. So treat your employees the same way. Same thing. And then give the caring team autonomy, because they need autonomy to figure out new creative ways to care for their fellow employees. Create guidelines. I'm going to share with you some guidelines in a second. Here's some of the programs that we have, just to give you an idea. The way we split it up is we say 60% of our total funds that are available, we make available to our employees. 30% to the employees' families, and 10% to the community. Because that's our employees came up with that. They said, we're most important. So if we're most important, that's where we should spend the money. So it helps guide that budget that you saw earlier. Then we put programs here. We started on the physical side. We started a wellness program, sports teams, addiction recovery for our employees, benevolent funds if employees' houses burnt down, and we have a lot of those happen. Then we started a car repair fund, emergency loans, home repairs. We repaired the homes of our employees. We went out with a team, helped them repair their homes, help repair their cars. If their cars break down, we pick up their cars, tow them back. We take care of them, and not only for them, but for their spouses too. When you do stuff like that, they're like, why are you doing all that stuff? And then we developed more on the emotional side. We started training and development programs for our employees to help them grow in areas that they were weak, financial budgeting, for example, wills they didn't have, developing legacy plans. We've got all these plans for them. Caught You Caring programs. We then developed marriage retreats to send our employees, mission trips for our employees, scholarships for their children. Then we had a whole bunch of family events for our employees. Yes, sir?
How many employees do you have?
300. Here in the U.S. and also down in Chile, Santiago, and in Arequipa, Peru. So, again, in each country, it's completely different. And that's where you have to adapt it to the environment, with a caring team that develops those plans for you, because they're the people. They know what they want. And then we migrated from this side here to what really counts. We built a chapel, because if you've got a chapel in your organization, that sends a huge message that this is real. This guy's for serious. The next thing is we started prayer groups, voluntary prayer groups. We have a prayer group every Tuesday, and at that prayer group we have roughly 60 employees that come on two different shifts just to pray together. It's unbelievable. You just ask yourself, how does that happen? You know, it's being consistent, encouraging them and allowing them the freedom to live out their faith. So a lot of different activities here based, again, on reactive, proactive, and developmental programs. So a whole bunch of ideas to share. All that you see here took us 7 years to develop. So don't think you need to go do this in 2 years. This is a journey. And we're on a journey as a company. We've been on this journey now for 7 years. We've still got a long way to go. Some of these programs don't work quite the way we want to do. We're tweaking them. We're trying to find different ways to adapt and to change through not what I think, but our employees think. One of the most challenging things is developing guidelines. I'll give you a great idea, example. When you go to employees and say, when your car breaks down, we will come and pick up your car, we will bring it, repair it, take it back to your home, no charge, for you and your spouse. I don't care how much money you have, you're going to run out of money. Because they will literally have their brothers, uncles, and friends' cars repaired, and you will run out of gas. So what does that need? It doesn't mean you're not kind, you just have to develop guidelines. Every one of the programs that you saw over here has specific guidelines. These guidelines are developed by a core group of people, representative of all employees, that the employees trust. And they develop these things. So, you'll see, for example, car repair fund. We had to come up with, I'm just going to go through this one, but then I'll show you a whole bunch of others that I don't have time to run through. But, so for example, over here, you cannot use for general maintenance such as oil changes and brakes. Because that's what they did. The first thing they said, pick up my car, go change oil, fix the brakes. You know, the window's got a crack in it. I'm like, hey, what's all that? Man, it costs $5,000. Well, you told me you fixed my car. So you have to develop guidelines. And so what we did is we said, okay, you can't do all those things. And then there's another policy for more detailed, a detailed list of things that are in the program and what's outside the program. And then we have a team, when something goes wrong, we send the car to the repair shop, we send a guy to the repair shop, and we check that it's in line with this program. The next thing, how often can you do it? What about once a week? How, you're going to run out of gas. So how do you develop the plan? You have to develop something that's meaningful, something that makes employees feel you care, but obviously there are limits to everything. And so every one of our programs has these guidelines. I don't have enough time to go in. Like, for example, get two quotes before the thing, one repair per year for you and your spouse. How much? You've got to be a co-pay. It's all different things. Then we've got the general fund, we've got a community fund, we've got employee home repair fund. Again, all these same things. I don't have time to go through it. Just suffice to say, every program has guidelines. And we have guidelines. Here's the way it worked for every one of these things on the back. We have some starter guidelines for you to help you. Because let me tell you, if you start this thing fresh out, you're going to have so many sticks in your eye. After the third program, you say, I quit. This is too difficult. But that's what we're here to do, is guide you and coach you through these things. So, again, I could go for hours, but I'm trying to compress 10 years of experience in 40 minutes. It's rough. So anyway, same thing, medical fund, reach out fund. And then how do you assess these things? You know, we want to try and make sure that we're really being mindful of how to develop a really cool plan. So what we do is we look at an implementation plan. This is something I really encourage you to do. Don't just say, okay, here's the activity, good luck. You're going to have to do it like everything else. What's the action? Who's the owner? What's the cost? And when's it going to be completed by? Just like you would do everything else in your company. You've got to do it with excellence. You can't just allow, just because it's a soft, caring, loving program, just hope for the best. Mm-mm. Then what we develop here is a matrix that tells us how we're doing. For example, how many Bible groups are we having? How many people come to that Bible study? When we first started our Bible study, it went great for the first 6 weeks. The next thing, instead of 100 people, there were 5. I said, what? These numbers are telling me things are wrong. So we had to look what was wrong. And we found out that the guy giving the message was saying things that offended some of the ladies. And so you have to constantly be on the lookout. This is not an easy button. You press it and it's all over. End of story. So I'm hoping that you guys have... How many minutes do we have, ma'am? 5 minutes for questions. So, yes, sir.
Two quick questions. One, over the past 5 years, what percentage of your time as CEO was in this? And number two, have you tried to quantify this financially? You're investing X amount. Have you noticed any attributable increase in revenue or profit?
Wonderful, wonderful question. And I'm glad you asked that because all those answers are coming in my plenary session. I'm going to be 45 minutes talking about just that. But to your first question, how much time do I spend? Initially, a boatload of time. Because anything that's important to you as a CEO, you have to baby. So I spend ungodly amount of time because I didn't have any help. I was the guy doing it. William was very instrumental in helping me, but he basically gave me a list and said, Peter, go do it. And I went out with all my might to go do it, but it used a lot of my time until, I would say roughly, maybe 30%. Right now, I've developed a team that I can spend 50% of my time doing this. I got my whole team back in South Carolina and in Chile running the business with excellence, supporting me to do this. So as you evolve, it happens. And one of the things I did, I realized that I have a VP of sales. I have a VP of operations. I have a VP of human resources. But do I have a VP of caring? I thought, if this is important to me, shouldn't I have someone like that? So we hired a guy. That's his only job, is to care for our employees and care these programs. And so that's what we did. We developed that. And now my amount of personal involvement is maybe 10%. So good question. Anyone else?
Yes, sir.
I noticed little t local, little t national, little t global. What's little t mean?
Where is that?
Which is the bullet point the way it came out.
Ah, okay.
Sorry. Yeah, no. Yeah, you're looking. You're looking. Yes, sir.
How do you choose and govern and develop your caring committees?
Very good question. Essentially, what we did to start with, I handpicked them. I looked amongst the team of people that I knew were leaders in the organization, people who had social status in the organization or natural leaders, and who had a Christian worldview. And I what I did, not all together, because here's the trick. I didn't want to say I picked them. So I picked six guys, and I put them on a roster, and I had the employees pick the top three. So they felt like they were picking them, but yet it was me developing an all-star team. And once we developed the all-star team, they then chose their successors. So don't leave it to chance. It's a good question. Yes, sir?
Well, do you do anything different, or have you ever encountered an organization where you have people that are members of a group and not so much employees?
Members, I'm not sure what you mean.
For example, I run a networking group of 20 to 30 people that come and meet once a month.
Okay.
What can I do in this sense to implement some of these ideas? They're members. They're not my employees. I'm encouraging them. They're all their own independent business people, usually very small, mom and pop type stuff.
Now, do they try and help you achieve a common objective?
Yes.
Okay. So do you think you could create a mission statement and a purpose statement?
I do have a mission statement and a vision statement.
Okay. Could you create some of these programs that would support that mission and purpose statement?
Financially, no.
Why not?
Because I'm not big enough.
Some of the stuff costs $0.
Okay, well, if it
doesn't... On the right-hand
side... I'll look at it.
Okay, good question. Good question. On the right-hand side, yeah, you'll see a whole list of things that cost $0.
Okay.
That's why I created this thing.
Great.
You have to start with things that suit you. And you know what? God will bless you once you start that. You'll have enough money to actually go do some expensive stuff.
Sounds good.
It's God economics, my friend.
Okay. Thank you.
He will make... Just to answer your question in a nutshell, the increase in productivity of our employees more than double pays for every program that we have. Double.
This is well organized on behalf of all of us. Mm-hmm. This is really something.
It's a tool.
You know, well thought out.
A lot of what you've heard up until now for CEOs is very theoretical and very heartwarming, but it's not practical. You can't go do anything. I'm a practical guy. I want to go do stuff. And so this is the action plan. This is actually go do it, and you'll be unbelievably surprised. When you start to see the first eternal return on investment, it'll blow your mind. And then the time that you spend there, you'll want to spend there because that's your purpose. Ultimately, it's to create eternal value in the organization. And once you see that, it's like a winning cycle. You just become so excited. You want to go to work at 6 o'clock in the morning instead of 8. Yes, sir.
Have you seen a faith result from this, or have you seen a lot?
We have 300 employees. 76 employees have come to an intimate personal relationship with Christ. Wow. So it works. But it depends how you do it. Do you go beat them with the Bible, or do you love them to the Bible? Thank you for listening. I really appreciate it. Thank you. Yes, sir. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Hi. I am from northern Peru.
Okay.
You're in the south.
Arequipa.
Arequipa.